and now from one of the biggest computers in the world to one of the most compact. Raspberry Pi is the size of a credit card. It will sell for about 20 quid, and it will turn your TV into a home computer. And the first units are set to arrive in Britain this week. With us is the co-inventor, David Brabham, from Frontier Developments in Cambridge. Hello, David.
Hello.
So, tell us, what was your vision for this when you first set about creating this incredible miniature computer?
Well, there's a whole group of us at the Raspberry Pi Foundation. It's not just me. But what we're trying to do is to bring computers to a lot of people who currently have access to computers maybe at school, but don't have access to programming them in the same way. An awful lot of computers these days, it's very hard to actually get at them as a device for programming. They're very much more devices for sort of consuming software, if you like. And one of the problems is a lot of kids at school are put off using computers because ICT is very much how office skills and all that sort of thing. So presume that's what programming is all about, which it isn't. Programming is exciting. It's fun. You can do science. You can create things. You know, it's really good. But at the moment, computers, it's very, very easy to muck them up. And by that, I mean, you know, to stop them working because you brought in a virus, you've got that sort of thing. The point about Raspberry Pi is essentially we think one of the first stateless computers for a very long time. In fact, since the days of things like the BBC Micro, nearly 30 years ago. And the point with that, apart from the MAC address, when you first switch it on, they're all just the same. There's no, you know, if you remove the SD card, there's no state in it.
How does this actually work? How have you managed to get this so small?
One of the great things with the electronics industry over the last few decades is electronics have been shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, less and less power, for particularly the mobile phone business. So we've really piggybacked off that. The chip that's at the centre of the Raspberry Pi is a chip made by a company called Broadcom here in Cambridge, which has an ARM in it, also from Cambridge, that is small, low-powered, and also not very expensive.
When someone buys one of these things, and £20 sounds like an incredible price point for what you'll be able to do, they'll plug this into their television. How do they then interface with it? Keyboard, mouse, and so on. How does that work?
Yes, you can plug in. It's got USB sockets in it, so you can plug in a keyboard, you can plug in a mouse, and there you go. You've actually got a full-on computer. You can do email and things like that. You could, whatever you would do on a normal PC. But you can power cycle it very, very quickly. So we've taken a slightly different philosophy where, okay, yes, bad software might come in, you might do something wrong, you might mess it up temporarily, but you press reset and less than 10 seconds later, you're back up again running with a fresh version of the machine.
You brought up the BBC microcomputer, and that's, I think, where you made a huge name for yourself with a game which I know there are people in this room, well, including me, who will have played Elite, which you pioneered. We're still totally amazed that you managed to do with 32K what you did in that game. I mean, it took people a long time to catch up. What language will this run? Because the BBC computer was so amazing at its time because the BASIC, the language it ran, was so accessible. It was so easy to learn and it got you into it. What will you do with this?
Well, actually, two of us wrote Elite in the original, back in 84. But what we do with this is we want the first versions, the ones that are going out this week, are what we call developer versions. And we're providing lots of different ways of using it. What we plan is later there will be a version that will be a lot more kid-friendly. There are several approaches, and what we want to do in the meantime is work out which is best. And one of them, interestingly, is actually BASIC, the original BBC BASIC. Because, to be honest, learning is what's important. And actually, it's a really good system to learn with.
So you'll be able to get it to run BBC BASIC. This should get legions of kids programming. Is this who you're aiming this at then? We're going to try and get school kids countrywide, just Britain or worldwide, to plug in on this because it's so cheap and it's something they can play with without really messing it up.
Well, initial aim was just Britain, but I think worldwide is very hopeful. We've been approached by charities and all sorts of other people. The aim isn't just programming. It's doing creative things with a computer and really to break down the barrier of using the computer as a tool, which is something we saw a lot of excitement for in the 1980s, but that's sort of gone away. They're seen as really dull things. And what's amazing is if you talk about a kid, you say to a kid, oh, would you like to make an app or whatever? You know, then they go, oh, that's what you mean. Oh, that sounds a lot more interesting. You know, and I think that's the distinction.
The first units arrive tomorrow in Britain, we hope. What will you do with them? How will you scale the project up to then optimise it and then start marketing it?
Right, well, we're hoping, assuming they all work fine and all that sort of thing, that to be actually sending them out this week. We have a plan for increasing the scale of what we're delivering over the next sort of few weeks and months, which I think is very, very exciting. we have a good feel that the demand's high. We don't actually know how high it is, so it's actually very exciting on that side as well.
And I know you said it's a foundation, but is it actually a business as well? Is there an aim to try to make money so that you can reinvest that in the development of this thing or make a profit? What's the model?
Right, we are a charity, but that doesn't mean we can't make a little bit of money on each unit. It's a very small amount, and what we will be ploughing that back in to make the thing better, to produce what we can, and also to support it, because the other part of this is to support an online resource so that children, teachers, parents can upload things and download things to make it become a sort of self-supporting community, which I think could be really exciting.
I'm certainly excited. David Braben, thank you very much for coming in to tell us all about Raspberry Pi, which arrives in the country tomorrow. Helen.
Thank you.